22. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last." And the verse we're particularly going to be thinking about this evening is verse 24, where Jesus says, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to." So now let's keep our Bibles open and let's pray as we think about this passage. Almighty God, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us in giving us your word. And we pray that you will help us now to hear what you have to say to us. And I do pray, Lord, that you will help me to declare your word. And I do pray that you will help everybody here to heed your word. And if anybody is not yet through that door, I do pray, Lord, that you will move them to come through the door into the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I hope you're all going to listen very hard to what I'm going to be saying to you, because here is a very, very important message. Because here, Jesus is saying to us that we need every single one of us to make sure, are you listening? We need every single one of us to make sure that we have entered into the kingdom of heaven. It is really, really important. We might think that we're Christians because we've been to church all of our lives, because our mums and dads are Christians, because we know the church, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're Christians. And we need every one of us to make sure that we have truly become Christians. Now, you see, Jesus says here, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Now, as we think about this, the first thing I want us to notice is this. that there is a door into the kingdom of heaven. It is possible to know God. It is possible to be friends with God. A lot of people tend to think that God is right up there in heaven, far, far away from us, far greater than us, and they cannot possibly know God. In a number of religions in the world, they learn off by heart certain prayers, and they pray these prayers automatically like a machine several times a day. And for them, God is somebody completely unknown, completely distant, completely far away. But what this tells us is, what Jesus tells us here, is that God is somebody that we can know. Because he says, enter through, he said, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. So what that's saying is that there is a door. There is a door. You can go through that door and you can know God. And you can be friends with God. So that's the first thing I want us to see from this passage. Now the next thing to see is this. Is that this door into the knowledge of God is a narrow door. Listen again. Jesus says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. It's a narrow door. Now this reminds me of another passage that Jesus, another thing that Jesus said on another occasion, where he said this, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. You see, there are actually two gates. There are actually two doors. There's one door which leads to heaven, which leads to the knowledge of God. And that's a narrow door. And there's another door which leads to hell, and that's a very wide door. And you can be anybody to go through the wide door. You can be a Muslim. You can be a Buddhist. You can be a Hindu. You can be a Roman Catholic. You can be a Jehovah's Witness. You can be a Mormon. You can be an atheist, that is somebody who doesn't believe in God at all, or an agnostic. Or somebody who calls himself a Christian even, but doesn't truly know God. You can be anybody to go through the wide door. You can be a really, really bad person to go through the wide door. And you can be a really, really apparently good person and go through the wide door. You can be anybody in the world. You can be old or young. And you can go through that wide door. And you don't have to do anything special to go through that wide door that leads to hell. You don't have to make any decision. You don't have to make any plans. All you have to do is you just live your life. And you just do what you would normally do. And you will land up going through that wide door that leads to destruction, that leads to hell. But Jesus said, don't go through that wide door that leads to hell. He said, make every effort to go through the narrow door, to enter through that narrow door. What is that narrow door? That narrow door is Jesus. The narrow door is as wide and as narrow as Jesus himself. Jesus is that door. Jesus is that way. He said on another occasion, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is that door. And he's the only way to God. If you try to get to God through any other way, you'll land up in hell. It is only through Jesus, because he is the only one who died on the cross for our sins. We've all done wrong. We all deserve to go to hell. And Jesus is the only one who has made the payment for sins. Nobody else has. Muhammad never made a payment for sins. The Buddha never made a payment for sins. The Pope has never made a payment for sins. Nobody has made a payment for sins. The founder of Mormonism, he never made a payment for sins. Nobody has made the payment of sins except Jesus. And that's why Jesus is the only one who is that door to heaven. So the first thing we've seen is that there's a door. Second thing we've seen is that door is very narrow. It's only it's as wide only as Jesus. Now the third thing to see is this. That at the moment, the door to heaven is open. Because he says, let's read the verse again. I hope you can all remember this verse soon. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. So what that is telling us is that the door at the moment is wide open. You can go through this door. Jesus has opened that door to heaven by dying on the cross for our sins. And it is now, at the moment, he's saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Come to me, he says. If anybody is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. There is this wide open invitation to everybody to come to him and to go through this narrow door to enter life. You might have been a very good person all of your life from a human point of view. Will you still come? You still need to come, and you can come. You're welcome. You might have been a very bad person, a very disobedient child maybe, a very bad grown-up, very rude, very disrespectful, doing all sorts of terrible things. But even as a bad person, you're still welcome. Whatever racial group you belong to, however educated you are, or however uneducated you are, whether you are clever, whether you're not clever, whoever you are welcome to come through this door. The door is open. At the moment. So there is this call for us to go through this door. Now, the fourth thing to see is this. That to get through this door requires very strong determination. Let me just read that verse again. He says, make every effort to get through the narrow door. Now, you might say, well, the word that's used there, when it says make every effort, is the word agony. Go through the agony of entering through the narrow door. You might think, what is agony? Agony is where you are really in pain. Where something hurts you a great deal. And he says, you've got to be willing to go through agony to get through this door. Well, you say, well, why is it agony to go through the door? Because it's free. To come to Jesus, it's free. We're all welcome. So why is it agony? Why have we got to work? Why have we got to make an effort? The reason is, it's not because of anything on God's side. As far as God is concerned, it's free. But the problem is, there's something in us. There's something in us that does not want to believe. And that is, we all have a tendency to sin. And so when somebody starts to get interested in Jesus Christ, there is that sinful tendency inside you which says, no, don't do that. I want to enjoy my life. I want to do the things I want to do. And so there is this battle that goes on. And one part of you is saying, yes, I'm attracted to Jesus Christ. Yes, I want Jesus to save me. But another part of you is saying, no. If you become a Christian, if you follow Jesus, you're going to have to give up this, you're going to have to give up that, you're going to have to give up that. And there's part of you that says, I don't want to do that. And so there's this battle that goes on. And you've got to be absolutely determined to go through, to push against that tendency to sin that's in you. And press on in to the kingdom of God. And another thing is this, that not only is there the battle of your own flesh, but also there's the battle against people around you. See, your friends, if you become a Christian, your friends might start laughing at you. Almost certainly they will. They might not just laugh at you, they might want to hurt you. They might even want to kill you. That day might come. Like we're praying about people becoming Muslims, becoming Christians in places like North Africa and in Iran. They know that when they become Christians, they're in danger of being killed. That could happen to us one day here. And there's a part of us that says, I don't want to get killed. I want my life to be happy. For some people, when they become Christians, it means that their partner doesn't want to know them anymore. That's a hard thing, isn't it? To say, okay, is it Jesus or my partner? And for some, they have to make that choice. And you've got to be absolutely determined. You've got to say, no, even if I lose everything, it's worth it. It's worth losing all. You see, Paul said in one of his letters, he said, I've considered everything rubbish that I may gain Christ. To me, he says, to know Jesus is worth losing everything for. My sport, my comfort, my home, my friends, it's worth everything. And that's the attitude we need to have. But also there's another battle we sometimes face, people sometimes face, which is a battle with the devil himself. So for some people, as they become Christians, the devil, as they are coming to Christ, the devil himself makes it very hard for them. Sometimes there are all sorts of horrible things that happen to them. Strange voices they hear, strange things happen in their homes, all sorts of horrible things. And these things are designed to make that person think, oh, I better not become a Christian because, whoa, all sorts of nasty things might happen to me. And we've got to be determined. You've got to say, no, I'm going to do it. We've got to strive. You see, that's the point. Strive to enter. Go through agony if necessary to enter. It's worth it because there's nothing more valuable than knowing Jesus. What's better? Imagine you have a comfy world in this life with lots and lots of friends, lots and lots of money, lots and lots of happiness, no troubles, everything going easy, and then you land up in hell for all of eternity. Or compare that, on the other hand, you lose all your friends, you lose all your money, you have bad health, you're attacked, but you land up in heaven. Who's the better off? It's the Christian, isn't it? Who's lost everything, but has got a place in heaven. That's the person who is the best, who's most well off. And that's the attitude we've got to have. We've got to say, yes, to know Jesus is worth everything. So I don't care if it costs me everything. That's the attitude you've got to have. You've got to have that attitude whereby you say, yes, I want this life. And it's only if you've got that sort of attitude that you will then press on in into the kingdom of heaven. And you don't care if that means that you stop doing the things you used to enjoy doing on Sundays, because you love to be a Christian and you love to know the Lord and you love to serve him. So, to get through that door requires great determination. Now, the next thing to say is this, that if we do not enter through that door, one day we will find that it's too late. Have a look again at that verse. It says, verse 24, Jesus said, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Now, I said a moment ago that the door is open. At the moment, that's true. The door to the kingdom of heaven, the door to knowing God, at the moment, is open. But it's not going to stay open. One day, that door is going to shut. And that door is going to shut when the first of two things happens. One, either that Jesus comes again, or that you or I die. Once that has happened, once Jesus has come again, or we have died, the door is shut. And after that point, it's no longer possible to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus here at this point uses a little picture, uses a little illustration. And he says in verse 25, he says, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. Now, in my house and probably in your house as well, until it's bedtime, we have just the latch on our house. But then when it's bedtime, I go downstairs and chop the front door and I bolt the top, bolt the bottom, and that's it. We're locked up for the night. And only in the most exceptional circumstances will I open the door after it's been locked up. And some of my kids used to be told, you're not back by, the door's going to be locked. I think we probably used to open it sometimes. But anyway, but that's the thing. The door is locked. The door is shut. Now, Jesus says that's how it's going to be on the final day. It's when he comes back, he's like the householder. Jesus is the owner of the kingdom of heaven. And when he comes back, he's going to shut that door. And once that door is shut, there's no opening of that door. Now, think about it in this last year. In this last year, I can think of at least two people who used to come to this church who've died in this last year. They're no longer here. We hope that they might have come to the Lord before they died. We don't know that they did in these two cases. But who's going to die this year? We don't know who's going to die this year, do we? We don't know who's sitting here this afternoon, or who is sitting here this morning, come this time next year. Even if the Lord doesn't come back, we don't know, do we, which of us will still be here. I might not be here, you might not be here, none of us might be here. There might be some big atomic warfare and we might all be gone. We don't know, do we? We just don't know. Or Jesus might come back again. And the point is this: if you've not gone through that door before you die, or before Jesus comes again, that's it. It's too late. There are no second chances. Some Christians like to say that. They like to imagine that if you haven't been saved in this life, Jesus will give you another chance after death. But no. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that there are second chances. the only chance you've got to become a Christian is while you're alive and while Jesus hasn't come back. After that, it's too late. So it's really, really important that each one of us should come through that door urgently. The Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. The Bible says also that today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, today. You might be saying to yourself, well, yeah, I believe the gospel is true. You might be saying, oh, I believe it's all right. Yeah. I think one day, you might be saying, I think one day I'll become a Christian. But what if you die before you ever make that step? What if you lose that opportunity and then the door is shut, bang, and you can't come in? Now, the next thing to see is this, that many are going to be surprised on the final day to find that they are not in through the door. And that they're not welcome. Because he says this, verse 25, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate with you and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. Now, the people that Jesus is talking to obviously thought that they would be all right, because they'd had Jesus teaching in their streets. Some of them might have had Jesus coming into their house to have dinner with them. So they thought, oh, we'll be okay, because we knew Jesus. But Jesus says he'll say to them, I never knew you. Now I wonder, I hope not, but I wonder if there might be some people on that final day who will say to Jesus, but Jesus, I used to go to Poplar Baptist Church. But Jesus, my mum and dad were Christians. But Jesus, I memorized the Bible. I went to children's class and I memorized the Bible. And I memorized all sorts of questions called a catechism that they told me, all the answers that I had to learn. But I'll be all right, Jesus, because I... And he'll say, I hope not, but I fear it might happen. He might say, I never knew you. You see, it's all one thing to come to church. It's all very well to believe in God. That's all very good. It's all very good to read the Bible. Very good to do that. Very good, indeed, to memorize the Bible. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you know Jesus. We need to make sure that we truly know Jesus. And that's the question. You see, as far as Jesus is concerned, if you don't know him, you're an evildoer. You might say, I'm not an evildoer. I've never raped somebody. I've never killed anybody. I'm a good person. But Jesus said, those that he'll say that do not know him, he'll say, away from me, you evildoers, you unrighteous people. Anybody who doesn't know Jesus is unrighteous, is wicked, is sinful in Jesus' eye. And then the last thing to see is this. The final end for those who have not gone through that door will be terrible. Verse 28, he says, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. See, it's going to be terrible for many people when they see all these other people who were saved, all these other people who had gone through that door, who had trusted in Jesus, who did know Jesus, they'll all come streaming in. And they say, but what about me? What about me? But it's too late, because you never went through that door. And you'll be thrown out. And there'll be terrible anguish, weeping, gnashing of teeth. Horror, no, screaming, no, it can't be. But it will be. Great disappointment, great sorrow, which will go on forever and forever and forever and will never end for those who never entered through that door, who never trusted in Jesus. And so every one of us needs to ask ourselves this question. I hope you will, each one of you, ask yourselves this question. Have I gone through that door? Have I been saved? Do I have eternal life? Do I know Jesus? That's the question that we, each one of us, need to ask ourselves. What should you do if the answer to that question is no or not sure? Answer is, come to Jesus. Remember what I said a few moments ago. The door is open. You can be saved. You can be saved tonight. Even if you've not loved God up till now, even if you've been a rebel up till now, you can be saved. Ask Jesus to save you. Ask him to give you eternal life. And he will give you that eternal life. And what about for those of us who are Christians? Well, don't we need to know that those of us who are true Christians, don't we need to see from this that there is an urgency? We need to issue this call to our friends and to our neighbours. You need to enter through that door. That door's not going to stay open for long. Come to Jesus. Trust in Jesus to be your saviour. Well, we'll just have a few moments of quiet where we can just examine ourselves and ask ourselves if we have gone through that door, and we can pray to the Lord and ask him to give us that eternal life. So just have a few moments before we finish.